This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Rod Watt,
Kevin Burrows,
Bruce Withall,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Now, you have got together because you're involved in model aircraft.
That's correct.
Yeah. It goes back a long way. It goes back to 1948.
'48 when I came to New Zealand as a 7-year-old from Scotland, and ended up in Paschal Street, went to the central school, and Kevin lived down the road, about 200 metres down the road in the same street, and we were in the first 11.
I don't think it was the first 11.
The only 11.
It was the only
11. Central school.
Yeah.
And
we've got a photo.
D.C. Pryor was the headmaster, and Mr. Hoare was my teacher, and Miss Gosnell. And we were both patrols.
So what age was that?
That would be 1951.
So what age were you then?
10.
10 years old.
Would have been 51.
I came out 48 and then...
Yeah. Well, I started school there in 1946, and I can remember Mum taking me up to Central School, which still got the original brick gates, posts, taking me through there, and left me there. I can remember that to this day. And
was it traumatic then?
Yes, it was. And then, but I recall that. We went into Primer 1 then. They had Primer 1, Primer 2, Primer 3, Primer 4, then Standard 1, Standard 2, Standard 3, and Standard 4, and all that was at Central School.
So there's no intermediate?
No, not there. And then from Central School, we went to Intermediate School, Palmer's North Intermediate School, which was Standard 5, or Form 1 as they called it, and Form 2. And then at the end of those 2 years, you went off to your secondary school, which in Rod's case, I think, was Boys High, and mine was known as Palmerston North Technical College. Okay. But anyway, I remember went in, and it was right on the end of the war, but I went into, we went into the classroom, I can still remember little toys and things like that were in Primer 1, and then it wasn't very long after starting that the schools were all closed from the polio epidemic. And I think Mum might have had some sort of things from the school to sort of, not in school, but just to keep us sort of progressing through some sort of a structure, and went back to school, as far as I recall, straight into Primer 4, missed out Primer 2 and Primer 3. And from what I gather, that Primer 1, those...
So how long were you off school with the polio?
Oh, well, I don't really know, but I think it might have been at least 12 months, might have been 12 months or something. I think you went through the Primer classes in about 2 years, so that would have been 47, 48...
Yeah. There were still outbreaks of polio in the early
50s. 48, 49, 55. Yeah, that's right. So you normally, in my case, we went into the Standard 1 class in 1948. So that's 2 years would normally take you through the primary classes, whereas we only had a matter of, I think it might have been 6 or 8 months in primary classes.
Yeah.
And...
But your mother taught you a fair bit at home, or?
Oh, no, I don't. No, I think it was mainly just they had little reading books, like the dog jumped the cat or something.
Yeah.
Or the cat jumped, you know, yeah, that sort of thing. Just preparing you for reading and that.
Yeah.
And then went into Standard 1 in 1948. And that might have been when you came on the scene, Rod.
Yeah, I remember the primers at Central School. Miss Bowman, she was in charge of it, and then I went to the Mrs. Ransom from memory, and primer 4.
Yeah, I think.
And I can remember they used to have all these posters around the walls of these little engines, and we used to have to sing Down on the Railroad early in the morning, see the little puffin' billies all in a row. Mm-hmm. See the little engine driver turn his little lever, 50-50, choo-choo, off we go. I always remember that.
Okay. Now, you got really good memory about distant stuff. Is your short-term memory still...
Yeah.
So that was from 5 or 6 years old?
I was eight.
Oh, you were eight.
You would have come into Primer 4 like when I came back. After the polio epidemic thing, and all schools I think in New Zealand were pretty well closed during that, and it was only a matter of months in the primer, so it would have been six months or less than that, and then straight into primary. And I remember my first teacher was a Miss Hennessy in Standard 1, and I don't know what yours was, right?
Don't know Standard 1. I had Mr. Hoare, I don't know what his first name, but the last teacher I had at Central School in Standard 4 was Miss Gosnell. Mrs. Gosnell.
Miss Gosnell.
Was it Miss? Yeah.
And so we were in the same class then.
Yeah.
And
we're both milk monitors.
Yep.
School patrols.
Yeah, we've got photos of that actually.
So what did that mean?
Milk monitor.
Yep.
We had to pick up the milk. It was delivered every morning, put on a little trolley and go from room to room dropping this terrible stuff.
Half-pint
bottles, with warm milk.
The best part was the trolley, because that's why I joined it, because where the stairs were, they had a ramp so you could pull the trolley up and down, and you used to get on the trolley and just go flying down the trolley, steering this cart thing. Empty, of course, at that stage, but... And it got you out of the class for a little while, and it was good. And then the school patrol, and Rod and I were on the school patrol. I was the prefect.
What was the school patrol doing?
So we used to, like they do today, they have those lollipop things that they go out
on the road. Yeah, the traffic.
And it controlled the traffic while the kids cross the crossing. Yeah, so we had our little... White coats.
So proud of
them. And in the winter, we had these pixie coats with like a helmet thing on the top.
Plastic.
Yeah, and that was another way of getting out of class, but that's what we did. Then there was a prefix. And
so how were you chosen for that then?
Oh, just because you were good boys.
Okay.
Generally good boys. Well, by that I mean you never got caught.
Yeah.
And
I got caught.
Yeah, and then we went on then to, I remember in Standard 4, I was a prefect, and we were sort of like counsellors or prefects, you know, you sort of monitored the ones that were getting into trouble, and you're a bit like a policeman in a small sort of a way. You just kept all the naughty ones.
Teacher's pets, actually.
Yeah, just because you weren't one. But no, it was just a bit of ripoff. I guess they gave it to you because they thought that you had some initiative. Let's, you know, give them a little bit more and a little bit more
practice of leadership.
What do you call it? Responsibility.
Can I tell you about the school baths?
Yeah, go ahead.
They never had any filtration system in those days, and they filled them up about once every 4 to 6 weeks. And by the time this 4 or 5 weeks was up, they were like pea soup, I can tell you, and they were freezing. And that's, we used to have swimming sports every year, and they'd give you a certificate for every race you won. And I loved swimming, and I ended up as a school champion the last year I was there for swimming, but not particularly the school champion for technical work. But it was.
So when would you be swimming? Would it start in sort of before Christmas?
Well, it used to be. We used to have long, hot summers in those days, didn't we?
Yeah, I think it was mainly in the summer. But talking about swimming in the school baths, one of the things they used to have us do, I think it might have been standard four or something, but they used to have these old weaving looms. And one of the things that we had to do for, I don't know, hobbies or something, was weave a scarf. And I always remember this because I weaved this grey scarf and made a good job. We used to be able to take them home, these weaving things, and they had a loom and it shot through, and we learned how to. So I just I was a scarf, but then one day a couple of us thought, well, we'll go where we're not supposed to go, and we went underneath the school bars, climbed through a manhole, down underneath the school bars, and right under the whole pool area, and we weren't supposed to go. I don't really know what we were doing down there, but I always remember I had my scarf on and I came out without it and I could never get back in there to get it, so I can't say it's still there because I pulled those bars down, but yeah, that was always
going under the
bar. You didn't want to get caught doing any of these things, because mm-hmm. those days you just get the strap and stuff like that. And
the strap.
Okay. Oh yes, you got the strap.
Was that common? What would you get that for?
Oh, just been mischievous.
Were you either of you ever given the strap?
Most kids were.
Yeah,
not so much.
When you say given the strap, is it sort of 1, 2, 20, 100 lashes?
Well, we used to have what they call six of the best.
Yeah,
but it wasn't so much in the primary school as much. If you're really bad, you would get. Usually, I think it was administered by the head or something. But you used to get the strap. Or you used to have to go and stand in a corner, in the dunce's corner, they called it. And
they used to try and humiliate you.
Yeah, and but it was later on, really in the secondary school, that's when you used to get the cane and the strap and God knows what.
I was just trying to remember, think who the headmaster was. It was D.C. Pryor.
Yeah, that's him.
You remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I got the strap at the primary school, but I certainly got it once in intermediate for calling a teacher what was his name? His name was Pegler and I called him Pegleg and I got the strap for that. Now Brian Pegler is still around today and he's a good friend of mine, and I always remind him about the time he was just a fresh, you know, student school teacher, and I called, here comes Pegleg, and I got two for that. But when I got to high school, I got a cane a few times, and that could hurt.
Mm.
But
were girls punished in the same way?
I don't know.
Rod's different to me. I had no interest sort of in girls. I was more interested in doing things than girls at that stage. But I can tell you a little story about the cane. My first day at technical at the Palmerston North Tech College was in it was in Princess Street, and it was in the old buildings that are still currently, I think, that was the teachers' training college for a few years afterwards.
Yeah, but
we went in there and all sort of gathered in a group on the first day, wondering where we were going to go, and then we found out who our form masters were. And I found out that mine was a Mr. Ward, and he was only about this high. He was a really short Englishman.
Short Ward.
Yeah, and I said, "Oh, I got a little short guy, Shorty Ward." And right at that moment, he walked behind, and he heard me say that. And this is on the first day, and he heard me, and he sent me off down to the headmaster's office. Oh, what was his name now? I can't remember now. But
Wibbly.
And he sent me down there, and I got just as modest as I didn't. I just hold off, really, basically, you know, show some respect or something. But I hadn't really. Well, I wasn't being disrespectful in my view. I just Shorty Ward, but I didn't know. But that's what he was known as by the kids at school, and. So from that day on, he had it in for me. I had 2 years there at Tech. And
so what were you doing at Tech?
I went into a class called M3A. My would you call it, my report, my results and exams were always good, and so they wanted me to set myself up in a it was called M3A, which was a mixed class, so we had girls and boys in that class, and it was a commercial class, or the C3A was a C3A it was a commercial class, which they're trying to sort of line you up for a commercial type, you'll go to university sort of thing.
Okay. So you're learning accounts and...
Yeah, all that sort of thing. And, well, I was more practical and I wasn't really much interested in that. And I got out of that after the first year and went into T4A, which was the trade, T for trade. And I'd done very well at intermediate with woodwork. And I won a couple of the local joinery firms' prizes for the best woodwork student, and so I was sort of setting up to be a joiner or something like that. But anyway, this particular Shorty Ward, I changed in the last 6 months. I decided I wanted to be a motor mechanic. I'd been working after school as a motor mechanic and I just loved it, and motors and things like that. Dad bought a new motor mower and I took the motor apart on the first week that he had it, and he was good, he didn't mind, and I put it back together at work, so that was good. So I decided I'd want to go and be a motor mechanic, so they took me out of the T for him and put me in one called M for, or A I think it was, or something like that, but the M stood for motor. Well, Shorty Ward was the full master for that particular class, and so we never sort of got on that well. And then our classroom, our form room, was in what they call prefabs, which were at the back of the old school.
Prefabricated.
They were a prefabricated building, no warmth, but they had these big pot belly stoves in them, which he would come in and light in the morning and warm the place up. Because this is about a year before we moved into the new school, which is now in Rangitiki Street, so we were still sort of transitioning. So this particular morning he hadn't come, and we, like all the guys, were just laughing and carrying on like that, and so I said, I'll fix this to you. So I got his cane, which he used to cane us quite regularly with, and when he caned us, if he didn't get our fingertips, that didn't count. It was 6 canes across the hand, but they had to be on the fingertips.
Ooh, ouch.
Oh, you can say that again. So anyway,
how long and thick was the cane?
Oh, the cane was flexible. It would probably be as thick as your finger, and it would be about a metre long. Okay. So I found his cane and shoved it up the chimney of this potbelly stove this particular morning. Up the stove, and then when he came in, he lit the potbelly stove for us. We all knew what was happening. And we laughed at that, and then he wondered what we were laughing at. Well, somehow I can't remember how he found that, but he couldn't find his cane, and somebody might have told him that he'd just burnt it. and anyway, cut a long story short, he found out that it was me, I'd been through Cubs, and I was still in Scouts, so you sort of get to where you're fairly truthful when you actually question, you don't lie. And so I was on a spot and I had to admit it. So he sent me on the bike down to the local pram shop, which was on the corner of Tānui and Cuba Street. Tānui and Cuba Street. And there was a pram shop in there. I remember that, and I had to go and get another cane for him. And I think the school must have had an account there or something.
They sold canes in the pram shop.
Well, cane prams, they had any...
Oh, cane prams, yep.
Push chairs and things were made of cane, and so that's where you bought your cane down there, just adds. So I get down there, take it back, and then I copped it. Yeah, I copped the cane right in front of him. I don't forget that. Yeah. Poor old Shorty.
Talking about canes, I went to the boys' hall, eh? They were graded A, B, C, and D, and then ag. And
then
I was
ag,
agriculture. Agriculture, yeah. And I was fortunate to get into 3A, 4A, and 5A. But we got the cane on a regular basis there. Some of the teachers were got carried away with them. With their authority, we had old Stu Jonason and Coke Cahoon, and I think one of the halls that the boys hire now is called the Ian Cahoon. After him, he was my form master. He was very good with a cane.
And so you didn't find that the top forms, they were all focused on learning and all well behaved.
We had.
But even so, you were caned.
Yeah. Oh yes, everyone was equal. And if you got into the A stream, you didn't automatically go into 4A or 5A. It would depend on how well you did during that year. So you could be in 3A 1 year and 3B the next.
Oh yes.
Or 3C if you hadn't tried. So it was always a struggle to try and keep your marks up to stay in the A grade, but because a certain element of what's the word, not pride, but you know.
But you find there'd be competition.
Yeah, very competition all the time.
So why did they still need to apply discipline in the
well, human nature is all the same whether you're bright or whether you're not so bright. And the boys used to have phys ed, and all of us, and you wouldn't take your white shorts with you in your case, and you'd put them in the coat hanger area. They had all these hooks in there and to hang your coats and that up, and all the boys used to put all their shorts in there. So when you were picked out for the cane for some demeanour, you were told to go down to the end of the corridor, which you knew was the caning room, and on the way down, you'd whip your trousers down, grab about six pairs of these white shorts and put them on, and when you got there you could hardly walk, you could hardly bend over, and they'd get back with this great big cane. It would be about a metre and a half long, and they'd literally flick it and they'd whack you as hard as they could. Just
they'd realise what you were wearing.
Yeah, they didn't. We just laughed at them. But they would cane you for, well, I was caned, so I got six of the best once. It was quite innocent. We were just having a game of case tag, and that means you throw your cases at each other and try and hit each other. And everyone was doing it, but except when my turn came and I threw mine, I threw it just as headmaster Stan Craven came through the door, nearly knocked him out. Well, I was in real trouble for that. But other than that, the only drugs that we knew in those days were the aspirin. There was no such thing as...
What about smoking?
Oh, there's some kids did, yeah, but we had a lot of fun at high school, but most of the caning was for being a bit cheeky or answering back. I can remember at phys ed with the Ian Cahoon, you weren't allowed to have lollies at school, and he caught me eating one once at phys ed, and still in the original hall there, I can still remember, and he called me out and he said, I don't mind you having a lolly, he says, but everyone's got to have one. So next time, the week after, I bought a big bag of Tom Thumbs. Do you remember the little, tiny little lollies?
Yeah. The hot ones?
No, tiny little just round ones. They're called Tom Thumbs, obviously small. Yeah. Okay. And I bought a whole bag, and I had the class all lined up. They all had some. I'd given them to everyone. And I got this great big one. Do you remember the Gobstoppers? No, they were about 50 mil cross.
Yeah.
And Cahoon, he saw me eating again, so he called me out and he said, I hope you've got lollies for everyone. And at that stage, everyone pulled their lollies out and started eating. And he said, where's mine? So I gave him the gobstopper. Shut him up for the rest of the period. But those sort of things, they would cane you for insolence or being answering back. You would never answer a teacher back. Otherwise, you're in real trouble. But other than that,
but did you generally get on well with the teachers?
Oh,
did you like the teachers?
We had some teachers. Special. I had one, we called him Gabby Nixon. His son used to own the chemist shop along Featherston Street there, and I went to see him, well, it was a number of years ago, but he was a very old man then, and he was just so thrilled to see me. And he was my favourite teacher because I loved English, and he was a really nice guy. And I went to see him. He must have been well in his 80s. And we had a great chat, and he was happy to see how you'd progressed and how you were going. Another one, Grubby Salter, he was my maths teacher. And I met him in town one day, and I said, didn't call him Grubby. I said, how are you, Mr. Salter? Do you remember me? And he looked at me and says, how could I forget? I don't know whether that was good or bad, but he was my maths teacher.
Yeah.
But they all had their names. One was called Stu Johnson. He was our science teacher, and
I can remember.
They were great days.
I can remember some names too. We had a music teacher at Tech, and he, I forget what his last name was, but he had a big moustache, so he was known as Soupy, whatever his name was, and they didn't appreciate that. We had another guy used to take us for algebra and trigonometry and stuff when we were doing trade drawing and things, but he was T.B. Nelson, so he was known as Two Balls, and I copped I did that one day and I copped it. but talking about the cane on the hands and all that, so what we used to do then is get an onion when we get home. Mm-hmm. Get an onion, slice it, and rub it into our hands to make it go, I don't know, I think it made them go blue, I can't remember, but it helped made the bruising come out. And then we should show the parents, look what happened at school today. And this teacher assaulted me. They couldn't get away with it now because it's not allowed, but but that's what we used to do with anything we could to make it look worse than it was.
Okay. Now, you've got children, grandchildren who've gone through school and so on. So you've got a basis of comparison, your school days to now, do you? Would you have any opinions on how school might have changed?
Oh, not mine are in Australia now, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Or my grandkids.
I took a class for my granddaughter, who's a school teacher up in Havelock North, and she asked me to do some sculpture work for them, to show them, because she was doing a study on the Romans and how they didn't have cameras, obviously, in those days. Yeah. So they used to make dozens of bodies out of stone, and they'd attach a head to it.
That's right.
And the head would be whoever the member of your family was, and they'd stand it up in the corner. And she wanted me to show the children there in her class how to make heads and busts out of clay, which I did for the day. And the only thing I can say about school teaching, I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't be a school teacher if you paid me. I was absolutely knackered by the time I'd finished that day. I started at 9, finished at 3, and the tenseness and the
intensity of it.
It was just so hard. And I was getting on, but I've got a great respect for teachers. I think they're grossly underpaid for the amount of work they do.
Yeah.
But the schools are quite different. You've got so much PC there.
Political correctness.
We didn't have that when we were at school. I remember we used to have army barracks at school when we went to high school. This is quite something. We the first week back at school, we had to have army training, and we'd be issued with a uniform, all supplied, shorts and this horrible thick khaki used to rub on your skin, something terrible. And they'd always do it in February when you went back, when it was the hottest months of the year. And they'd have us marching up and down on the corner of Rangitiki Street and Featherston Street, that whole corner. We'd march up and down all day for a week. And then one day I saw these guys under a tree, and it was the band boys, and I thought, that's for me. So I joined the band, because they just sat around and played the instruments and learned how to play music, and it saved us having to hoof it down the paddock all the time. And I was actually in the school band for 3 years and playing the corner and enjoyed it. It was great. Mm. And we had our bandmaster was, he used to be in town here, I can't think of his name now, Boogie was our music master. And we played in the HMS Pinafore, the opera, the overture. It was really good.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of the guys that played in the band in the Palmerston North Boys High are still around.
Mm. Yeah.
Today.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it sounds as if despite all the discipline and everything else, you all had a good time.
You haven't heard all the good stuff yet, though.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.org. www.govt.nz.
Support this programme and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.